I'm just going to read from verse 21 to verse 24 for today. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now I'm going to stop right there, just like I said, for the sake of time. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. And whether I say it or not, it's still true. The ones whom Jesus Christ spoke of here, the words that he said were true. Ye shall die in your sins. That's what he said. And that's what he meant. And Walter, I can't remember if you said this or not, but I had a feeling you did. But I'll say it this way. I believe in the blessed doctrine of reprobation.
Sure. Yes, sure.
And the reason is because I believe in the Jesus Christ that spoke right here, that spoke these words. I believe the election of God, and thereby, because believing the election of God, the reprobation has to be true. It has to be. It's another one. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
It's not possible. And that's what Jesus Christ is going through this whole chapter from here on out. He's dealing with this. People fuss at us and or will tell us, you can't preach election. Jesus Christ is preaching reprobation here. That's what the subject is.
Yes, sir.
That's what the message is.
All of it.
All of it is true. Every word he said was true. So God loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That's just as true. But so is this. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. None of the statements by Christ here in this chapter, it doesn't leave any wiggle room. Did it pop out again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hit play. Is it okay?
Don't think so. I think you have to hit the record button because play's trying to play what's not on there. Please pardon the technical difficulties. It's all right. It's okay. None of these statements by Jesus Christ leaves any wiggle room. These are flat, true statements.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you like them or not, they're still in here.
That's right.
It doesn't matter whether you believe them or not, they're still true. I want you to believe them. I want to believe them. He said, I go my way. He said, ye shall seek. And he said, ye shall die in your sins. That's it. And then he said, where I go, you can't come. These are all facts. These are all the truth of the Son of God speaking the words in accordance with the will of the Father above.
Amen.
But wait a minute, isn't God love? He is. He's love. But he's also holy.
Yeah.
He's also righteous. He's also just. And if you believe not that Jesus Christ is God, you shall die in your sins. And when after he said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come," the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye can't come." The Christ of God preaching to these men, and they still don't get it.
Yeah.
Every word, the absolute truth, agreeing totally with every word in the Old Testament. And they don't believe it. They won't have it because they don't get it at all. Then in verse 23, he tells them why they don't get it. And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world." And I looked at this in my little interlinear Greek New Testament. And if you read it as the order, now Greek grammar is different than English grammar. But it just struck me when I read it in the exact order that it was written down in the Textus Receptus. The words are translated, "From beneath ye are." And I said it last week, six words I don't want to hear, ye shall die in your sins. That's four words I don't want to hear either. From beneath ye are. This is where they came from, and this is where they are. It's not just because they were from beneath, although they were. They were from beneath as a point of origin. That's where they started. But Christ said, that's where you are. That's where you are. That's where you're from, and that's where you are. Nothing has changed for these men. This is still a statement of fact. No work, no wiggle room, no room for sliding something under. Nothing has changed about those from beneath. They are from beneath. It is ongoing, active, personal. The verb is in the present tense. It's active, and by Christ's words, it's indicative, which means it's a fact. Because every word he spoke was true. From beneath ye are. And this is the way certainly these Jews were that Christ was speaking of right then. Right now. And they're going to show it by manifesting it in their actions and in their words. This is the way they are actively. This statement is one of those statements that I don't want to hear. I put this statement, "from beneath ye are," right in the same category with, "depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." I put this in the same category as the potter having power over the clay. And he makes some vessels to honor, and he makes some vessels to dishonor.
Right.
From beneath ye are. The juxtaposition is next. From above, I am. He already told them, "You're not." I am from above. Also present, also active, and also indicative. It's a fact. Christ is the I am. Present tense. Right now, right then, and right at the very beginning and before the beginning. Christ is showing, again, the separation that already existed. That's what he's showing. This is not about Jesus Christ creating a separation. That separation was made from before the foundation of the world. That separation was made by the potter out of the same lump, making some vessels unto honor and some vessels unto dishonor. Christ is not saying to these men that now you're from beneath. From beneath, ye are. The separation was already there. It was right there now as he spoke. And I'm going to tell you what, it continues unto this day. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. How many times does God have to say something for it to be true? Once, if you're lucky. He don't even have to say it once. It's still true.
Yeah, amen.
But when he repeats it two or three different times and in four or five different ways, you think we... Well, you would think we'd pay attention, but we don't. I am not of this world. That's what he said. And that is what he said about his people. But that's not what he said about these here. In his prayer, high priestly prayer, later on, John 17, he says, I pray for them. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. That's talking about believers. That's talking about those who do believe and are forgiven their sins. But here, he's looking right at these fellows here and saying, you're of the world. Not just in it, you're of it. And the world will love its own. But it does not love Christ. It does not love the word of Christ. It does not love the teaching of Christ. It does not love the brethren of Christ. It hates. The world hates you. The separation is there. That separation is there. From beneath ye are. Then in John 8:24, just the next verse, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Guess what? More repetition. But this, where he says this word, and I like this, it's an old English rule they taught me years ago, and I actually remembered it, where he says, I said therefore. The word therefore. If you see the word therefore, you're supposed to look and find out what it's there for. It's a conclusion. It's a conclusion to what he has been saying. The reason this word therefore is here is because he just said, from beneath ye are, and from above I am. Therefore said I unto you, or I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Again, no room for compromise, no room for mitigation, no room for anything but the truth of Jesus Christ spoken here by himself. From beneath ye are. Therefore, ye shall die in your sins. Is that too hard? Well, for some, yeah. It is. It's hard. But he preached it. He taught it. And we're supposed to learn it. Now, let me ask you a hard question. Was there any hope for these that Christ spoke of? The answer is no.
No hope.
There's no hope. There's no hope for some people in this world.
Right.
You won't hear that in very many places. Because the world wants love. The world wants hope. They want everything but holiness. Or righteousness. Or truth. Or just... Well, they want anything except for the attributes of God. They want God to come up to everyone and say, bad boy, smack your hand, you're okay. But now you get in trouble if you smack somebody's hand. They will not have this man to reign over them. That's the characteristic of this world. Men hate the light. Men love darkness rather than light. In the place of light. Because they hate the light. And they hate him who is the light. And they hate you if you speak of the light. This is right up there with ye believe not because you're not my sheep.
Yeah.
It's not, as I have heard it proclaimed in many places, and it's still probably proclaimed today, that, oh no, Christ said, you're not my sheep because you don't believe. That's not what he said. He said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. You got to get the order right. Because Christ said it in a particular order about a particular subject. Therefore, ye shall die in your sins. Why? Because you are from beneath. And I am from above. Why don't you believe? Because you're not my sheep. That's what he told those fellas. Now, I can't go out and say that to people because I don't know. But this man who was saying these words, he knew. He knows. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make suppositions. He is stating the facts and the truth of God as it's revealed in the Father, revealed through the Son to us. There is an election and there is a reprobation. You can't have one without the other. There's no possible way. This was the plan from the beginning.
Amen.
This was the plan. I'm skipping for sake of time. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Faith of the truth. That's the noun, not our believing. But we do believe. Because of his faith. But this was the plan from the beginning God chose. The potter does not surprise himself with what he's made. Now, I can do that. I can make something and not know what I'm doing. He doesn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. This was the plan from the beginning, before the foundation of this world. This was the plan. And he sent his son to secure his plan, to secure his people, which he chose from the beginning. And he did not send his son to secure, redeem, justify, sanctify, substitute for those he did not choose. That's just the way it is. That was the plan from the beginning. What I wanted to get to in this whole thing was down here in verse 30. Because here's Christ preaching the reprobation, preaching that some are from beneath, preaching that they shall die in their sins, and saying it flat out. And then you have these words: as he spake these words, many believed on him. Because believing is important. It is vital. It is necessary. And that's really what I wanted to talk about. Because we believe him. That's the definition of the word believer. You believe. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's just as true as ye are from beneath. That's just as true as I am from above. If ye continue. What do I do now that I believed? Belief. Continue in his word. What happens if you don't continue? He preached a parable about the sower. And he gave the description of four different kinds of grounds. And there are those that are spoken of that receive the word with joy immediately. And they're talking about the stony ground. And what's it say about it? Well, when a little persecution comes, the heat of the day comes, the problems come, you're gone. We've seen that here. We've seen that here. That ground's all around us. But we're still here. And I take heart in that. I do. I thank God for that. That this assembly, it doesn't matter this building, the fire department building in down there, Jet, or that old huge building in Mapscott, or that little place at Brown's Road. The assembly is still continuing. And this is what we are to do, to continue in his word. I believed yesterday. Thank God I believe today. Tomorrow, I'm going to believe. By his grace. By his power. By his keeping. I will believe tomorrow. He's my hope. I believe him. And these people, I tell you, if they continued in his word, they were his disciples indeed. And if they did not continue in his word, they were not his disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He is the truth of God. It's Him. It's all in Him. And it's in these words that He spoke too. Ye are from beneath. I am from above. They're scary words, but they're the truth of God. As much truth as this. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I want to be His disciple. I want to continue in His word. I desire it. I may not always do it, but I desire it. I want to be in the family. Walter, while I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of that sermons you did on adoption. See, we have that crazy idea that God, you know, when we see the word adoption, we are thinking, as human beings, of taking someone who's not of our family and putting them into our family. And that's a wonderful thing sometimes. It is. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But that's not what this word is talking about when he's speaking of the adoption of children, the adoption of sons. It's taking a child you already have and bringing him up, and he reaches a certain age. He is given the responsibilities in the household that he already is a part of. That's what the adoption is here in this book. But Christ, in verse 44, said this of these fellows that he was still talking to. Walter, the commentators jump all over this place. I've seen them. They skip all the hard parts. In verse 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Why? You're of your father the devil. We don't go from being the children of the devil to the children of God. That's not the adoption. From the beginning, God has chosen you. Amen. You're in the family from the beginning, or you're not in the family at all. Right. That's the way it is. Yeah. Now, He will bring you in through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There are results because of God's choice. And you will continue in His word, because He'll put it in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This assembly is still here, and I believe that is because only of the will and the good pleasure of the Father. That's all I got. And as thankful as I am for you, I'm more thankful to Him. Because He is the first cause of all things. He is the one who purposed and planned and provided and gave and purchased with His own blood His people. Just as He was going to do ever since the beginning, from before the beginning of this world, from the foundation, before the foundation of this world, from the beginning, He chose. And therefore, He has done all of this for his people. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place that you have chosen, you have given, you have provided, you have made us to receive your words, your will, your way, and your life, which you have given. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.